بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Right, this is the last, should we say, the last lesson of the fiqh of Ramadan. Now, the chapter that we are going to talk about is about i'tikaf, spiritual retreat in the mosque. Now, the reason why they're speaking about i'tikaf within Ramadan is that because majority of the i'tikaf people do is done in the month of Ramadan. That doesn't mean the i'tikaf cannot be done outside Ramadan. I'tikaf can be done outside Ramadan. Basically, it can be done any time of the year. But majority of the people who do i'tikaf, they do it in the month of Ramadan. And it is on that basis that they brought the chapter of i'tikaf with the masails of Ramadan. Now, i'tikaf actually is an Arabic word which means to stay put, or another meaning is to withhold oneself within a confined space and area. And in terms of Sharia, that is the linguistic meaning. In terms of Sharia, it means to withhold oneself in a place, in a masjid, where five times jama'ah salah is being held. So if the jama'ah is not taking place, then one should not do i'tikaf in there. But according to one opinion, as long it's a masjid and there's a fixed imam, although jama'ah may not happen now and then, still i'tikaf can be done. But it is better to do, you know, go with the opinion, which is should we say the strongest, is that to do i'tikaf in a masjid where five times salah with jama'ah is taking place. And i'tikaf is one of the purposes of i'tikaf is to perform salah with jama'ah. Is to wait for one salah. Why, the reason why a person continuously gets reward is because he's waiting for the next salah. And if the salah is not happening with jama'ah, then his salah is not done in the best manner. Because, especially with the Hanafi school of thought, salah without jama'ah is incomplete. It is naqis, as they say in Arabic. Meaning it is incomplete. It is only complete when a person performs salah with jama'ah, especially men, so not women. That when they read salah with jama'ah, then it is complete. So if he's waiting for salah and it is not done with jama'ah, then he's doing incomplete. So this is why, based on that, the issue, one should do i'tikaf only in a masjid where there is five times jama'ah is taking place. Now, the best place to do i'tikaf is obviously is in Haram, Masjid al-Haram, in Makkah, because of the reward that one gets in performing Salah with Jama'ah there. Second best place is Masjid al-Nabawi. Third is Masjid al-Aqsa. And then after that, it is the Jami' Masjid, where the masjid where the Jummah takes place. Because back in time, everybody had a local masjid, but for Jumu'ah there used to be one dedicated masjid where everybody would get together. But now this is not the case. In every masjid, Jumu'ah is taking place. Even then, to do i'tikaf in a place where there is a larger gathering of people, obviously will entail more reward, because the bigger the Jumu'ah, the greater the reward there will be. So, based on that, if a person wants to move another place to do i'tikaf because the jama'ah is greater, then that is fine and it is something which is understandable. Also, according to the strongest opinion, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Huzayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu had said, لا i'tikaf illa fi masjid jama'atin, that they say there is no i'tikaf but in a masjid where jama'ah is taking place. So it is based on these ahadith that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah came to the conclusion that one should only do i'tikaf in a masjid where 5 times jama'at is taking place. So you can't just, you know, do the i'tikaf in some hall where now and then taking place or not. No. If it's a masjid that's been designated as a place for a masjid where 5 times salah is taking place, yes, one can go and do an i'tikaf there. So this is what it is. So one should do i'tikaf in the masjid where there is 5 times salah. What are the conditions? Like I said, the first condition is that the masjid should be shut when the jama'ah is taking place, and then also one should have intention. If a person stays in the masjid for 3 days but doesn't have intention for i'tikaf, he won't get the reward of i'tikaf. Okay? So the intention has to be there. Also, if the fasting is of compulsory nature, meaning he's done nadr, he vowed upon himself that if so and so such a thing happens, I will do i'tikaf for 10 days, or I want to make 10 days compulsory for myself, then in those circumstances, when one does i'tikaf, he has to fast also. We don't talk about the month of Ramadan automatically you're going to fast anyhow. We're talking about if somebody does a vow upon themselves that if I pass my test, I'm going to do i'tikaf in the masjid for 10 days. Okay? Then when he does i'tikaf for those 10 days, okay, he has to fast as well with the i'tikaf. He can't just stay in the masjid without i'tikaf, without fasting. So he passed, in January he passed his exams, so okay, in Muharram or in Sha'ban or in February, for example, following month I'm going to take 10 days off of work and I'm going to do i'tikaf in the masjid. Yes? So when he does i'tikaf in those 10 days, he needs to keep fast in those 10 days. Otherwise, his i'tikaf will not be accepted. So that's if it's mandatory. Okay? If it's mustahab, then he doesn't have to fast in this sense, because mustahab i'tikaf doesn't have any time restraint. One can stay for one hour i'tikaf in the masjid, which will be optional. Okay? But obviously with the sunnah i'tikaf, because sunnah i'tikaf is taking place in the month of Ramadan, automatically you're going to fast in the hour. So the spiritual retreat is of 3 types. Mandatory, wajib, when one makes a vow to perform it. So that type of i'tikaf is where one vows either because a condition which he made was fulfilled, or without making a condition, he's happy one day and he says, okay, I want to fast 1 month. Oh, sorry, I want to do i'tikaf 1 month without any condition attached to it. So again, once he says that, it becomes wajib, becomes compulsory. But he has to say it, not intention the heart. Making intention the heart will not make compulsory for someone. He has to say it. Okay? So that's where people make mistakes. People think that, oh, I said in my heart, so I have to do it. No. You have to actually utter it with your tongue, and then it becomes compulsory. Emphasize communal sunnah. In the sunnah al-kifaya, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Sunnah al-kifaya is a sunnah where if some people of the community do it, then everybody is discharged of their responsibility. Otherwise, if nobody does it, then everybody is responsible. Somebody should do it. That's what we mean by kifaya. If somebody does it, then the rest of the people, if they don't do it, they will not be responsible. The reason why sunnah al-kifaya is that, and it's such a strenuous and such a strong sunnah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, he continuously every single year did i'tikaf, and never did he leave it out. Now the rule that applies to sunnah is that anything that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did majority of the time and left it once or twice, that will be a sunnah. Okay, so if you analyze this based on that definition, this is stronger than a sunnah, because Prophet ﷺ never left it out. But because he never told anybody off, he never told any of those people who didn't do it, he didn't admonish them, goes to show that it's not wajib. Because normally the definition of wajib is anything that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did continuously. So based on that, he did this continuously. But because he did not tell anybody off or admonish anybody for leaving it out, this goes to show that it's not wajib. Although he would admonish. So from that, one can understand that it's not just a normal sunnah, it's such a strong sunnah. Because Prophet ﷺ never left it out. Never ever left it out until his final hour. So this is why it is very emphasized sunnah. It is done in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And the reason why it is done in the last 10 nights of the Ramadan is that A, one does it so that obviously to better himself, make a stronger connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to try to find Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr happens in the 10 nights. And according to the majority of the opinion, it happens in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Although some say it happens throughout the year, it happens. So according to one opinion, it happens throughout the year. And some opinions say it happens throughout the month of Ramadan. But the majority of the opinion is that it happens in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And the most strongest one is in the odd night of the last 10 days. And some people say it happens on the 27th. So the last 10 days, sorry, the 10 nights are the nights where Laylatul Qadr, according to the majority of opinion, happens. Hence, if one was to do i'tikaf in the last 10 nights or last 10 days, then definitely he will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. He will get the reward of worshipping in Laylatul Qadr, although he may not be doing anything other than sleeping. Because every single second that he spent in i'tikaf is recorded as ibadah. So even if he's sleeping, it is recorded as ibadah. So if it happened that night was Laylatul Qadr and he was sleeping, snoring away, he will still get the full reward of worshipping on Laylatul Qadr. Only in the i'tikaf, yes. If he's sleeping at home, then obviously sleeping at home is not ibadah. Well, if you actually, you know, the minimum one can do is read Fajr and Isha with Jama'ah. Because the person who reads Isha with Jama'ah, he will get the reward of half of the night, as if he's worshiping Ibadah. If he reads Fajr with Jama'ah, then he gets the reward of full night. So automatically he will get the reward, that night will be recorded as if he stood in Ibadah. So one should make an extra effort of performing Salah with Jama'ah in the month of Ramadan. And okay, so recommended Mustahab is any other retreat. Basically, any other time he spent with intention of i'tikaf, he will get the reward. So when a person comes to the masjid, straight away he should make intention. Nawaitu al-i'tikaf ma dumtu fil masjid. I make intention of i'tikaf, so long I'm in the masjid. Whatever time I'm spending in the masjid, I make i'tikaf. If he makes a habit, then even if he comes for salah, he's getting the reward of i'tikaf. No. This intention of the heart. But if you have the habit of saying it, automatically your intention becomes more stronger. That's why our pious people used to always actually say it. But it's not necessary. The intention is actually in the heart. You may say something else, but your intention is something else. So what counts is what you say in your heart. Yes. Once you leave the masjid, automatically your i'tikaf finishes. No. Obviously, you say the dua of leaving the masjid. Now, what is the masjid? People make mistakes in that. Masjid is the designated area where 5 times salah is taking place. Or to make it even more clearer, those who built the masjid, what was their intention? If the intention was that this area, this particular area was the designated area where the 5 times salah will take place, that is the masjid. And it is there where you do i'tikaf, and it is at the point of the entering in that hall is where you make dua for entering and leaving. So it's not the door that you enter into the actual compound. That is not the masjid. Where you enter with your shoes, it's toilets. Do you ever see toilets in the masjid? No. That's all part of the facilities in the compound of the masjid. But it is not the masjid. The masjid is actually the designated area. So everything else can be ancillary, where you know you won't be cursed for talking about dunya. But once you enter into the masjid, you talk about dunya, then you get cursed. So that's why when you do i'tikaf, you're not allowed to leave that designated area. If the whole place was a masjid, then it can go everywhere. It's not like that, is it? So which goes to show that the masjid is a designated area. So when you enter, when you say your dua for masjid, Allahumma aftah li abwaab wa rahmatik. You don't say at the time of entering into the door. You say at the time of entering into the place where it's been designated for salah. And when you say the dua for leaving, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, you say at the point where you leave the designated area. When you make intention for i'tikaf, you make intention for i'tikaf at that designated area. Yeah? Fasting is a condition for the validity of vowed spiritual retreat, the first time only. So as I was saying, that if a person vowed upon himself, then he has to keep fast. The second one, which is Sunnah al-Kifaya, you automatically have to. Why? Because you're in Ramadan in here, so you're going to fast. Understand? So it's not, so you're not fasting because of i'tikaf, you're fasting because of Ramadan. And i'tikaf, you're doing it because it's Sunnah al-Kifaya. Whereas if you're fulfilling a vow to i'tikaf, then when you do it, you have to do the fast. The minimum period of time to fulfill a voluntary retreat the third time is a moment with its intention. And as with all types of spiritual retreat, is valid only in a mosque of congregation. In a sense. So, if you're going to do a voluntary i'tikaf, then voluntary i'tikaf, so long you have intention, whatever time you spend in the masjid with that intention, one will be rewarded by the i'tikaf. So, which is a great reward. It is said in the hadith, the i'tikaf, yawmin, one day i'tikaf will take a person away from the fire of hell, the distance of between the skies and the earth. That's how far he will go from the final. This is what he will get. Huh? One may not leave his place of retreat except for the legitimate needs based on the sacred law, such as to pray the final prayer in the main community mosque, or for a natural need, such as to urinate, or due to an emergency, such as forced to leave under coercion. So, the only time when you're allowed to leave the actual confined area is for 3 excuses. One excuse which is categorized as shari'i. Shari'i excuse is an excuse, a reason where you have to leave to fulfill your shari'i reasons. For example, Salatul Jumu'ah. Like I said before, back in those days, Salat al-Jumu'ah did not happen in every single mosque. It used to happen in the main big mosque. But they used to have all the satellite mosques. Every place had its own little mosque. So you did i'tikaf in your own community mosque, then you have to go for Jumu'ah. So you have to leave the masjid and go for Jumu'ah. Yes? So that is called Shari'i. Or you have to do Adhan. Now normally back in those times they had a special place to do Adhan. You have to go up, stand somewhere to do Adhan. And that is to be outside the masjid. So if you go and do Adhan, you leave that area and go to that place to do Adhan. That is a Shari'i reason. Or natural need, which is called Tab'i, which is a natural necessity. For example, you need to defecate, urinate. Obviously, these places are not going to be in the masjid, is it? It's in the outside, maybe in the compound of the masjid, but it's not actually in the masjid. Okay? Or you need to do wudu. Unless the wudu facility is in the actual masjid itself, some places they have a small corner where you can do wudu. Okay? Then you are not allowed to leave the masjid. You have to do it there. But if that place is not available, then you go where there is. When it comes to toilet, do you have to go to the closest toilet? Otherwise, your i'tikaf will be invalid. No. If one feels at ease at going to a toilet that he's always used to, and only then he'll be cleared, then he's allowed to go, even if it means that he has to travel all the way home. For example, a person, maybe an older person, he has problem going to using Indian toilets, the flat ones. He has to see an English one. And the English toilet that is used to is at home. He's allowed to go to the toilet and come back. Provided he doesn't engage in any other activities apart from just fulfilling that. Yes? So he's going along. He doesn't stop, okay, let me go and get a kebab as we go along. No. Or he sees somebody, oh, so how are you? And he stops. He starts talking to you for half an hour. No. Yes, if he's going along at the same time he's talking to somebody, that's fine. Because he's not stopping himself from doing what he has to do. So as he's going along, even if he has to go home, he's going along, he meets somebody decides to walk with him to the house, fine, he's talking to me. But if he stops to talk to somebody, then that will nullify the i'tikaf. Again, to eat. Eat and drink is allowed in the masjid. Okay? If there's somebody who he has got somebody ready to bring the food in, then he's not allowed to go out to get the food. But here he doesn't have anybody. He's a single person. Doesn't have anybody who can bring his food. Then he himself is allowed to go and get his own food. Then he can go to a local chippies or kebab or whatever, or even go home to bring his food. Yes? If he got somebody to bring his food, then he's not allowed. Okay? And normally people tend to get someone ready to bring their food from home. Let's spend the time. Otherwise, it'll be just up and down, up and down, up and down. Have not much time in the masjid. You know? Yeah. So that is natural. And if it's emergency, such as somebody forced him to leave, or for example, the masjid somehow got demolished, there was an earthquake and the masjid got demolished, then he can't stay there anymore. He's forced to leave that. Then he's allowed to leave that and then go to another place, go to another masjid and do it again there. Fine. I'm cooking a banquet and spend the whole day there. I'm cooking food. I've got to cook this. And it's time for iftar. Come back. Then after Singhi starts to give the journey, cooking food all day, come back, where to come is done. No. So, especially if you go for defecate, you don't take 10 hours there. You know, in America they call it restroom. Go to sleep there. In such cases, he should immediately enter another mosque upon fulfilling the need. If there was no valid excuse, then the spiritual retreat would be invalidated by his leaving the mosque. So if he has no proper excuse, then he shouldn't. Having a bath is not a valid excuse. Unless the bath is something which he has to do. For example, he's had a wet dream, then he has to have a bath. That is, he has to do. So that bath, he's allowed to go out. But if it's like something, is like, oh, I'm feeling too hot, so I need to have a bath. No. Unless he can have it in the masjid, there's some special area where, you know, you can pour yourself some water, that's fine. You can do it there. But you can't leave the premises, leave that designated area. No, again, that's not a necessity, is it? Yeah. What you can do is get a wet towel or something, wipe it on yourself and everything. Get a bowl or something. In some places, they might even have a designated area where it's sealed. Water doesn't, you can have a shower there if you wanted to. Yeah, if you wanted to have a shower for that, you know, just a normal shower. Unless you go to a toilet where there's a toilet shower, and if, you know, while you're getting preparing yourself for defecation or something, and you quit in the shower, then you don't know your heart needed kind of these bathrooms down there. Or you're from Saudi or something, you get these kind of. Well, the thing is that one should make preparation. If he knows that he basically sweats a lot, or there's lots of odor, then come prepared like that. You come bring extra clothes. If you have to change your clothes every single day to keep yourself fresh, bring extra clothes. Come prepared. And if you can't do that, then it's not recommended to come to i'tikaf, because you become a hindrance to everybody else. So either you become prepared, bring extra flannels where you can clean yourself a bit, you know, with water, extra t-shirts, maybe every day change one t-shirt or something, you know? And nowadays every mosque they have washing machines. You can get your clothes sent upstairs, get it washed, bring it back down again. Yeah, the facilities are there. Sorry?
Free laundry service.
Well, not a free, you give something to the masjid, but it's there.
What about Juma then? 10 days,
there'll be Juma. Yeah. Again, fast to do bath on Juma is not a farad, is it? It's not a farad. So, hence, it's not necessary. But what you could do technically, if you was allowed to go to the roof, right? Because the roof is also part of the masjid. The roof which is on top of the actual hall. Take a bucket there, wash yourself. It's fine. You're not making a mess in the masjid. It's in the roof. The roof has probably a gutter or something. And again, that is part of the masjid. So the masjid is actually the room that's designated up to the sky and below. All is a masjid. So if, for example, if I was to designate this area, anything that's below this is also masjid.
What if they position in the space?
Sorry?
Yeah. So let's say you've got four space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in the masjid then. If you technically speak, you can have a bath there. Cover yourself, you know, wear a robe and just clean yourself. Yeah, like I said, if it's in the masjid, yes, you can.
When you say masjid, come out of the masjid.
No, 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 the actual designated area where, of the thing.
The
masjid
that being over that area then?
Going to be... No, no, because that's not that, no. Unless you're doing wudu. If it's like, for example, you need to do wudu. That's a necessity. Necessity. For the bath. But if somehow you can fulfill that within the compound, fine. So some places might have a little corner where you can have, as long as it's not making dirt. Or if you had the roof, you had access to the roof, maybe a spiral staircase within the masjid going up to the roof, you can have a shower there. No one's stopping you there, is it? So there's ways out of it. What are you making? Designing what? Designing a shower? What would you do, shower?
We're thinking about the next mosque and have to do it. It's a car friendly.
It's a car friendly. No, I would have thought if we can have, you know, maybe a corner where you can have completely waterproof, tight shower room, which is locked, by the masjid itself.
Yeah,
so that, you know, for those mu'atakifin, those who do the itikaf and want to have a shower, not for basically to make them clean, but pure from the from the uncleanliness due to wet dream or something like that. But just, you know, they want to maybe have, you know, a weekly bath or whatever they need to have, or it's there, it can be done. So. Yeah. Ask Zubair, has he done it?
He's done it.
You know what he said?
Should I get a
one large chicken supreme? Yeah. Sure, he's got hungry boys here, man. Look, he's lying down, he's ready to, ready for the whack.
I'm telling him earlier, I'm training for Ramadan.
You're training?
I've been the whole 2 weeks.
Well, but think of this as your last piece before Ramadan.
That's true. Well, we can get one pizza and then some other
chips. Yeah, just get some, let's do that then.
Let's get some, like,
chips and some.
Chips.
Sort of, once you order it.
Are you like chicken wings as well?
When?
You like chicken
wings? Yeah, it's alright, alhamdulillah. It's the name of Allah, you accept it. This is the best bit of the course. The last day.
What's the
point
of
the fact? Yeah,
there's
people on the
problem,
yeah. Yeah, he's... Yeah, he's
not like
a... No, he's not like...
No,
he's not like... No, he's not like... No, how far is it going with your health?
Yeah.
Is that ultimatum work?
Pardon?
The ultimatum work?
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, I think
inshallah. You're not going to move in Ramadan, are you?
No, that would be
rubbish,
I think. But I don't know what's going to happen.
You know what I think? I think you should do the extended contract and complete the end of Ramadan. The reason being that you won't need to pay 1 month payment for nothing. You're not going to use it. But get the exchange so you know that it's done now. There's no backing out. And then the completion then. Then once your Eid is done, all right, boys, take all your Eid clothes off. Get to work now. It literally, isn't it? Eid's finished, now take your clothes off. Get to work. Start bringing everything in the house. Yeah, plus the Ramadan, you don't want to mess around to watch. Yeah. Yeah, literally.
You say that. Long days, not much sleep. Especially
during the day, you don't eat, so technically, you've got more time. You've got
more time,
but you don't have the energy.
It's the energy, isn't it?
Time and energy.
Actually, I agree. My mum has more energy to run a little bit during all that. Last cooking,
it.
She
gets
the fumes.
That's true.
Yeah. The cooking energy.
Bro, you just call her mom and she'll just superwoman.
She got
disgusted
with the house.
So
we had to clear the house during Ramadan.
When was this then?
Completely renovated.
Really?
Not last time. All times. Yeah. Don't worry.
It's the clean of the heart and clean of the house, both together. One go. I can remember when this happened 30 years ago. I was probably 9 years old. We played cricket. It was long days here and it used to be hot. I can still remember 9, 10 years old. I think so. Well, I don't know if it was.
Well, you're not, I think you're younger.
Because every 30 years the cycle comes.
Even if you fast, you're younger. You need to play after present.
Huh?
You've got to play after present.
What, in India?
Yeah, when you're younger, 8, 9. You can't just leave.
Yeah. Because that's when I was in India, for Bukhari, people used to play at that time. Because it's not the hot then.
Yes.
It's not after they go to.
Where was it?
Huh? When I went to India. 96.
Yeah.
Where?
Huh?
Where?
Where?
Gujarat. There's a madrasa, Falahud Darin. Falahud Darin, Turkish one. In Gujarat. Have you heard of Darwin? Which part of India are you from? Hyderabad. We had quite a few Hyderabad in our madrasa as well.
Most people have written
Durban.
Yes, the other one UP somewhere.
Yeah. There's Durban and Saharanpur.
Saharanpur.
The two oldest ones. And there's another one down there is Saharanpur. Nadwa.
Why is that? Do you know Ali Amin?
Huh?
Ali Amin.
Yeah, you know. Where is he?
He was one of the leaders of Yazid.
Where is he? Subhanallah. You heard it?
He's a day. He's actually like 6 times for about 3 days.
Which one are you, Oxford?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, it's funny. So shall we just finish off? Okay. The woman performs her spiritual retreat in the area of her house which she in general has designated for her prayer. Now, itikaf is not just only for men. Itikaf, women can also do it. Now, how does a woman do it? Obviously, it is not recommended, although she is allowed to come to the masjid to pray Salah, but it is not recommended that she come to the masjid. So she do i'tikaf in her own house. So where should she do the i'tikaf? She should do i'tikaf in the place that she normally has designated for her Salah. So that's why women should designate an area where they do the Salah and keep it, you know, super clean. And it is that area where she's allowed to have the car. Also, women can only do i'tikaf with the permission of their husbands. Okay? If the husband gives the permission, then she can then go and do i'tikaf. And the reasons are what I've mentioned before. Once a husband gives permission, and she starts, the husband can't go back. So, no, you gotta break it now. Once she starts i'tikaf for 10 days or whatever, then she, the husband cannot break that, or cannot force or coerce her to do that. So, this is where she will do i'tikaf. And Sheikh Zakari rahmatullah alayhi, he says in his book, in his Fasail al-Amwal, for women it's very easy to do i'tikaf. Because they can be at home and still get, or hey, bring my food here, do this, because they're at home. And get the children to do everything while they're in the actual thing, in their little area where they do the salah. And everything still could be running, you know. Oh, you forgot to put green chilies, put the green chilies in. So from there, she can dictate everything, isn't it? So. Sorry? Again, like I said, it's not compulsory. But if she thinks that she can manage everything and then she wants to go in at the car and the husband gives permission, then carry on. Obviously, if that's all that's having an impact, then obviously, you know, she's not in a position to do the i'tikaf.
And she didn't say where the men could go away in the world, like they did in the potential.
Where?
In the house.
Yeah. Basically, well, you're talking about nothing i'tikaf. Which i'tikaf are you talking about? Where you just come in and come and go out. Yes, again, same thing. Whenever she's going for a salah at that designated area, she make intention.
One more question. You said, when you're talking about the second part of the problem,
yeah.
That's like a second.
Yeah, basically, even if you like, for
every time you get to
the yeah, that's how easy Allah Ta'ala made it. Yeah, you should make intention with the call. Yeah, as soon as you finish, it finishes. As soon as you left, as soon as you leave, finish the enter, you can do it. Also, that's why they say that if you're taking a shortcut through the masjid, for example, to go to another place, you shouldn't normally do that unless you make an intention at the car. So as soon as you enter, you make intention at the car and you go past and carry on and go. So at least you're going through, you're not making it as a road, but you're using that path as an ibadah, then it's okay. Otherwise, no, it's actually disliked to use the masjid for anything other than ibadah. It is permissible for man to perform the spiritual retreat to eat, drink, sleep, even. Okay, so we all know that eat and drink and sleep, he does it in the masjid. Even buy or sell in the mosque. Normally, a person is not allowed to buy and sell in the mosque. Is not allowed to bring any commodity or buy and sell in the mosque. All these transactions are prohibited. Are prohibited in the masjid. So you can't be in the masjid, oh, yeah, we've got this deal going on. Let's do this. No, you should be talking about these kind of things in the masjid. Okay. But for a person who is doing i'tikaf, if the deal is such that it's a necessity for the family or something, maybe, for example, something's run out at home. Okay? Nowadays, smartphone, online. Let's go to Tesco.com. That's what you do, the transaction, aren't you? So, okay, I need a couple of bread, this, that, because there's no way to bring food from home. That's fine. You can do that. As so long as for the purpose of fulfilling the necessity of the family. Or your own. Run out of soap. Yeah, it's called the soap coming. Delivered, £5. Yeah, take it. So you can do if it's that. If it's right, now I've got to do my deals going on. And if it's just, just for the purpose of deal, then no. Provided the commodity for sale is not brought inside the mosque. You don't start making a bazaar in the mosque. All right, bring your whole shop into the mosque. So you can't go to the shop, so you brought the shop to your mosque. No, it's not that. You know, you can't do that. as to do so is disliked. It is also disliked to remain silent or speak other than good. So just to remain silent, thinking that remaining silent is an ibadah, okay, then no. If one wants to remain silent because he doesn't want to engage in idle talk, or he doesn't want to get, you know, trapped into talking rubbish, yeah, then he can remain. But if you think that remaining silent is an act, is an ibadah in itself, no. Remaining silent is not an ibadah in itself. But if it's there for a purpose, for a reason, so that, you know, basically you don't want to end up doing ghibah, backbiting, anything, you stay silent, you stay with, then fine. Because back in the days before, they used to do that. They used to actually have, you know, days where they won't talk to anybody. And that in itself was an ibadah. So, but in Islam, no. That is not an ibadah anymore. It is unlawful, haram, to have sexual intercourse or to engage in any foreplay. Moreover, the retreat is invalidated by intercourse or by ejaculation due to foreplay. Now, one's going to think, how come you in masjid, how are you going to do that? For example, you went home to bring your food, and then you engage in these activities. That's a possibility. That, and if you do that, you have to go with bread. Or if the woman is at home, why should she have to go? She engaged in those activities. Again, her itikaf will be broken. Same thing with foreplay. Understand? If ejaculation happens not because of foreplay or anything, either because sleeping and happen or thinking, although then it happens, then that doesn't bring itikaf. That's to the physical. That's the physical. If one vows to perform the spiritual retreat for a certain number of days, he must remain in his retreat for the accompanying night as well. Okay? So somebody says, if I pass my exam, I'm going to do 2 days itikaf. Then he has to spend the night as well in itikaf with the days. It's not like daytime, as soon as Maghrib goes home, comes back, following. No. He has to spend the night. The nights will automatically be included in the days. Similarly, a vow of nights necessitates the accompanying days. If someone says, I'm going to spend 2 nights, then when you say nights, you have to spend the days with it as well. Otherwise, it'll just be like a hotel, isn't it? You work for the whole day, sleep in the masjid at night, then in the morning go back to work. No. This type of retreat, in other cases, must be performed in consecutive days and nights. So if somebody vows, okay, I'm going to spend 10 days in i'tikaf, then he has to do it consecutively. He can't do like 1 day there, then okay, take a little break, then 2 days there. No. He has to do it 10 days consecutively. Even if he does not explicitly stipulate consecutiveness in the vow. Although he didn't say 10 days together, he just said 10 days, he still has to keep it 10 days together. Okay? If he makes a vow for 2 days, he must perform his retreat for the accompanying 2 nights as well. So say again, same thing. If you say 2 days, nights will automatically come with it. Or if you say nights, days will automatically come with it. So this is basically what i'tikaf is all about. And like I said, the reward is great. Du'as are accepted. Every single second is recorded as ibadah. And most importantly, you will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Guaranteed. And it is in the hadith, those who do not get the reward of Laylatul Qadr, they are the true losers. They are the true losers. So, and also, getting Laylatul Qadr, the reward, will actually help a person in getting his sins forgiven. Everybody must make sure that they get their sins forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Otherwise, these type of people will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in spite of getting the month of Ramadan, in spite of getting, you know, in spite of having the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, and in spite of having all the obstacles been removed in doing ibadah, etc., and after all that, he does not get his sins forgiven, then the curse of Allah is upon him, the curse of the angels, and even the curse of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when you got all these curses, how is he going to save himself from the fire of hell? You know? So that is a very good way of making sure that he gets his sins forgiven by doing i'tikaf. So inshallah, if we can do i'tikaf, we should make intention, try to take some time out, do i'tikaf inshallah. Is there any more questions before we wrap up? You have to redo that day. You have to redo that day. Yeah. So, for example, you made intention to 10. Well, you vowed to 10 days, right? You only kept 2, and you broke it. And you still have to redo the rest. But they're hoping, us to give us something, some of the whole, by next week. Inshallah. Huh? It's summer. It's summer, it should be alright.
Well, if they did 5 times a day here, and this is
the time.
Sorry? Since they prayed 5 times a year.
Well, if that hole comes back in, then that would be, if not, you know. Maybe half of the size? Provided we use all this space as well. But normally in Tarab we don't use this space, do we? So inshallah. Well, we've got a couple of people who wanna express the intention of taking it to God. But more the merrier. Inshallah.